Well, not to steal a line from my brother Joshua, but I also have a story for you. Hope you don't mind me borrowing that, Josh. Okay. You know, one of my very favorite passages in Scripture through the years has really become, as you go to the end of that John chapter 13, and Christ begins to make known to his disciples that that he's going to be going to the cross. And as you go into chapter 14, you begin to have the great comfort that our Savior brings his disciples, in which he begins to make known to them that though he's going to be going the way of the cross, that his Father is going to send the Helper. And one of the things in particular that Christ says is that he's going to teach you all things, and he's going to bring to remembrance the things in which Christ has told him. And, you know, that's one of the things that as we as a church, as we teach, we proclaim the Word of God and just what it says. And we trust the Spirit of Christ to begin to work in hearts and to begin to bring certain passages to mind at the right time. To begin to equip, ultimately bringing about repentance and whatever is needed in these old hearts at the right time. And so the other day, I had an interesting day, and as I'm in the midst of the situation that happened, God brought a particular passage to mind for me. And if you could turn with me to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. So just to kind of give you the setting, I'm on the floor of the Home Depot in the back corner, and I think the words that came out is, I'm looking down, and I go, you did it this time. You really outdid yourself. In the middle of these things, you know, the flesh wants to begin to bring up different thoughts, and you go, what's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? You start to think of those that you care about and how you're going to do it, even the things you were getting ready to go and do that day. And all these different thoughts begin to flood in. But isn't it just the kindness of the Lord that the Spirit of His Son doesn't leave us at that point of just that flesh beginning to want to run rampant? It made me think in particular here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you go down to verse 16, and it says, rejoice always, or as we know, forevermore in all situations. And, you know, sometimes you get in certain situations, and it's not always the first thing that the flesh wants to think about in that moment is rejoicing. But what we begin to see and hear is, that really begins to be a mindset of the Spirit of Christ within us. That it's a place in which we stay. And we know within the context of 1 Thessalonians that there's things that begin to come in to remove hope, to bring hopelessness in, an overwhelming sorrow or fears or different things that we begin to want to creep in. But one of the things, as I think about that rejoice always, why do we? Because we know who's in control. And it was one of the very first things that God began to pour back into my mind as that flesh wanted to start to go down all these roads. And as I'm sitting there by myself in the back of that store, it's like he begins to flood in that reminder of going, son, who's in control right now? Who's sovereign over all of this? Not only in the fact that things are within his hands, within his power, but who he is, who has it in control. The same one who would just pour out his love to the point of his son going to the cross. That's the one who's in control of these things. And what he began to remind me in that time is, this is just a way that we as believers, we think this way. Things begin to come in. Tough breaks come into your life. I told the youth I had a lot of dad jokes. I've been sitting around a lot, so a lot of them coming in, so they had it a lot worse than you in the class, don't worry. But these things begin to come in that we just don't see coming. And the tendency can be, if we allow that flesh to come in, we start to go down on these roads, rather than we come back to the point of, how do I rejoice always? Because I know who he is. I know that if he's begun to brought this into my life, there's a purpose. There's two passages come to mind as well in Romans 8, as well as in 2 Corinthians 4. If I were to begin to sum up the two verses we find in those chapters, that there's going to be things like momentary light affliction that begin to come in. But they produce something so much greater. There's an eternal weight of glory. There's something far greater than the pains and the sufferings that we begin to encounter, be they physical, emotional, whatever the thing may be that begins to come in. It's that reminder that if God is beginning to bring this in, he's doing something so much greater than that. So that's step one we begin to encounter. But the next verse that begins to come in verse 17, is to pray without ceasing. We would say in that, that who is it that you're turning to? Who is it that you're crying out to? One of the benefits sometimes to going through different seasons such as this is you get a lot of time to talk to the Lord. And I remember as I'm sitting there, and one of the things that had been kind of on my mind leading into that, coming out of the New Year's time, and Pastor Garrett, it's not Resurrection Day yet, but I don't know if I can even share about that testimony yet, but the Lord worked quickly off one of the things on the card, by the way, as fast acting was this one. But one of the things the Lord was really working in my heart is the whole thing of weakness. And as I think about 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you have this this issue that begins to come into Paul's life. And his first thought as he's praying, God, remove it. God begins to make it clear, as Pastor Gary has taught us through the years, God was answering Paul's real prayer, that first one, and that he would be glorified, that his strength would be seen, that it would open doors, the gospel, through even that weakness. And so as I'm sitting there and I'm talking to the Lord, one of the things that prayer begins to do is it begins to get our heart right. And as I'm talking to the Lord, and I had different questions that go, there was nobody back there. God had a purpose for that too, because it was just me and him. And as I'm talking to him, I'm going, God, I keep my heart right in this. Because I could already tell, I said, this is going to be something that's going to take some time. And it wasn't because of any great thought of mine. This was his spirit beginning to testify these things within my heart. And as you go to the next verse, these things all begin to work together, and you realize, how can I begin to in everything give thanks? Well, because I know those things to be true, that my Heavenly Father wants me to be able to just come to him and be genuine with him, to be real with him. And that's such a key part of that praying, is that we're real with God. And the things that, those thoughts that wanted to kind of creep into the mind, it was an opportunity to go, Dad, you know these are things wanting to come in. Take these. I don't want to think this way. And he begins to remove that. He begins to bring in that rejoicing, not in the circumstance, but in who he is. And in a trust that he's going to work these things out for good, because he tells us that in his word. And as it goes on, you realize how much God loves us in the end of verse 18, that this is his will for you in Christ Jesus. What a great opportunity to live in this way that God has given us. That no matter what begins to come into our life, no matter the challenges begin to come in, that we could begin to look through things in that lens of faith through the power of the Holy Spirit and go, listen, trials and difficulties are going to come in. 2 Timothy 2, Paul makes it clear to Timothy, there's going to be persecutions if you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be trials. He doesn't tell us there's not going to be, but he's going to be there with us, and he's going to strengthen us, and he's going to do a work of faith. I said I had a story to tell you. So as a fact of the fact there was nobody around, I actually called 911 myself. My wife was encouraging me as I'm calling her, and I go, honey, it's kind of, I don't know what it is. She goes, can you call somebody? Call. And I go, okay, fine, I'll call. I can't get out. I'm stuck back there. And so I call, and so they come and get me, and never broke anything before, never been in an ambulance. And so they go and they put me in the back of the ambulance. So I don't know what to really expect, but we're sitting there for a moment and everything shuts off. And I'm in the back of this ambulance and I go, is this normal? It's kind of dark in here, kind of quiet. And the guy's in the back of the ambulance with me and he goes, yeah, this one's had some electrical issues at times. We're going to get it situated. I go, all right. Now keep in mind, I've been praying and talking to the Lord all the way up to this. And so we're sitting there, and what's funny is, I'm sure a part of the training is that they kind of want to ask you some questions and get your thoughts off of what's going on. They can see the leg and go, I better distract this guy. And so he starts asking me, you know, well, what happened? And so I kind of told him, and I said I was on the way out to the church, and I was going to work on some things. And he goes, he just starts opening up. He goes, you know, I haven't gone to church in a while. And he begins to share some different things that began to come into his life and compromises that had come in, things that had begun to wear him down. And in the midst of that, the Lord gave me opportunity to begin to encourage this man in faith. And I'm in the hospital room, and they had kind of dropped me off, and the guy comes back in, and I thought they were already gone, and he works his way back in. He comes back in, and he goes, it was no accident I was with you in the ambulance. Wow. And I go, I said, brother, I thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. And my encouragement through all this, if I could, is there's going to be things that come in that we don't see coming. There's going to be difficulties that come in, things that in our own understanding maybe we wouldn't choose, that are going to stretch us and take us out of our comfort zone. But if we look through the lens of faith and trust in God, we can actually rejoice in the midst of that because of who He is. And what an opportunity to get to go through these things with our dad, to get to talk through these things with him, to be strengthened by him. And don't be surprised if the Lord doesn't open up doors through that. And so you begin to look at these things and go, I wouldn't choose it any other way. Amen. And we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, we just give you thanks for your goodness and for your faithfulness. And Lord, we don't always see things coming. We don't always know everything that you're working, but Lord, we know who you are. We know that not only are you sovereign and in control of everything, but what good thing would you withhold from us? And so, Lord, when you begin to bring trials into our lives, it's not to just leave us broken. It's to begin to mend us and strengthen us in faith. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you are with us in each and every situation we begin to go through. May we not think in terms of our own strength, but Lord, if we need to appear weak so that your strength would be seen, Lord, what a great blessing that is. Help us to walk through the lens of faith and trust in you and not in our own power. We give you thanks and praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.